Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Incoming National Security Advisor Mike Waltz joins us now. Mike, what have you learned about this horrific tragedy, this terrorist attack, and what do you think that needs to be done now as you prepare to come in a new administration to protect the nation from further attacks?
Well, thank you, Griff. And look, here's the bottom line. The terrorists around the world, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and their offshoots, didn't get the memo that the war on terror is over. They still hate us. They are plotting and planning to attack us. And we have to be on maximum guard. We have kept President Trump informed throughout the last 24, 48 hours. And look, two things. One, we've got to take a hard look at our defenses. First and foremost, close our border, where we've had over 300 people on the terrorist watch list traverse our border in the last years. Number one. Number two, I'll remind everyone, just in the last year, we had 8 ISIS operatives rolled up, surveilling sites to hit in 3 different cities. A number of them from that cell are still unaccounted for, based out of Tajikistan. And then there's the defensive aspect of this, the law enforcement and intelligence, and then there's the offensive aspect. And taking a hard look at our strategy overseas, our posture, our basing for our special operators and our intelligence operatives to keep a lid on ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and others, whether it's Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, and other places where they may be plotting and planning to hit us.
You know, Congressman, I want to put, if you could put your door kicker hat back on as a Green Beret, when I talk with people in the community, when I talk with law enforcement, they all tell me the same thing. We're focused on the wrong things. We're not focusing on the threats to this country right now. Are you hearing that as well, that they look at yesterday as a mission failure? We had Americans that died. And something needs to change immediately. I mean, it's great that we got the former president coming back in, but something could happen between that time.
You know, you're absolutely right, but I want to echo others in praising law enforcement that literally ran to the sound of gunfire, ran into a hail of bullets, and stayed engaged and took this son of a, just took him out. Right. And you're right. It was a failure. We need to look at whether we had intel indicators. We need to look at, you know, how he was radicalized online. I'm particularly interested. We'll be looking to the National Counterterrorism Center. Was he externally planned, plotted, and directed from ISIS operatives overseas? Or was this truly homegrown? If it was homegrown, then was there some type of imam, mosque, or other type of radicalization element that is not only radicalizing him, but others internally? But again, guys, I can't emphasize enough, close the border, secure our sovereignty, you know, and that is completely unacceptable. The entire world knows that we have an open border. They intend to hit us, and they are pushing people into our interior to do just that. And they know that if we're looking internally at ourselves, we can't be defending ourselves abroad. So that entire counterterrorism strategy, particularly now that they have a caliphate again in Afghanistan, where ISIS and Al-Qaeda are brewing, we just have to do a complete day one relook.
Hey, Congressman, it's Sandra here. So as this story moves forward and hour by hour, we anticipate that we will get more information about all of this. As the incoming National Security Advisor, what is it that you are going to be looking for as the feds start to give us more information?
Well, number one, that external plotting versus internal radicalization, how that happened. Number two, I find it an amazing coincidence, but I don't think it is a coincidence that you had 2 attacks renting from the same site, both veterans, that you could have a more radicalized and broader cell. Don't forget you also had an Afghan that was stopped from making Election Day attacks. So this is why getting President Trump's cabinet in is so important. Mm-hmm. We need Governor Noem at DHS. We need Cash Patel at FBI. We need Pete Hegseth at DOD. This is an across the government look. Marco Rubio at State, and of course Ratcliffe at yep. CIA and Gabbard, Tulsi Gabbard at DNI. That has to be in place day one, guys, because this is a moment in transition of vulnerability, and President Trump is going to project. Because he is a leader of strength, the narrative that we project on day one will be just important, and that's having our people in place.
And lastly, Congressman, during this transition period, just 19 days to go, are you currently in contact and in getting briefings from your counterpart, Jake Sullivan?
I have been in contact with Jake Sullivan, the current national security advisor, through the last 24 hours. They are trying to piece together information, but we're not waiting on what we're just getting from this White House. Everybody has their feelers out so that we keep President Trump as informed as possible. And I can tell you what, he is ready to go day one, 19 days to go.
Real quickly, because we have to go, Congressman, I'm not asking you to reveal classified information. But was there chatter about this guy?
Not that I've been briefed. That we know of at this point. But again, we've got to look. The National Counterterrorism Center, that's one of the reasons they exist. And our intel community is fully engaged to see what was going on from abroad.
Congressman, appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Congressman.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show, conservative news and commentary on the issues that concern you here on the BBS Radio and Television Network. That was an interview on Fox News with Congressman Mike Waltz of Florida, nominee for incoming National Security Advisor, regarding the ISIS-inspired, if not directed, terrorist assault early New Year's Day in New Orleans that left 14 people dead as of this recording and dozens more injured. The perpetrator was a U.S. Army veteran who drove a rented truck with an ISIS flag attached to it into a crowd of New Year's revelers on New Orleans' famous Bourbon Street, then emerged firing into the crowd and at police before police shot him dead. Just hours after that, there was another terrorist attack by another U.S. Army veteran in front of the Trump Hotel in Las Vegas, where the perpetrator apparently drove a rented Tesla truck in front of the hotel, set off a homemade bomb in the truck, and fatally shot himself in the head. Both men were U.S. citizens who served in the U.S. Army. The New Orleans attacker was reportedly dishonorably discharged. I haven't found out for what yet, but that's what's being reported. While the Las Vegas attacker was an active duty, supposedly highly decorated Special Forces sergeant on approved leave from the Army and had been serving in Germany. His wife is said to have made anti-Trump posts on the internet years ago, but had not made anything more since 2015 or 2016. According to Newsmax commentator Finnerty, both attackers had served at the same time at Fort Bragg, where the Trump golf course attempted assassin, what's his last name, Routh, is said to have visited more than 100 times. And also, according to Finnerty, both men were registered Democrats and had both served in Afghanistan at the same time. However, law enforcement authorities have been reporting that these men served in Afghanistan in different parts of the country. Also, both the attackers rented their vehicles from the same rental company. As of this recording, the FBI is claiming that there is no, quote, definitive link, unquote, between the attackers. Sure are a lot of coincidences seeming to connect them, however, wouldn't you think? The investigations into both incidents are ongoing as of this broadcast, but it seems, if I heard Representative Waltz correctly, it would appear that these coincidences are not just coincidences. And isn't it also interesting that these terrorist attacks were predicted by radio and television host Alex Jones of Infowars.com. Since well before the November election this last year, Alex Jones has been predicting and talking about what he feared would be the reaction of the so-called deep state, the leftist-dominated U.S. government and establishment administrative state, in the aftermath of the election of Donald Trump as president again. Along with these other events forecast by, Jones, we have also seen that he was once again right on the money with his prediction of the establishment's attempts to create a new mass hysteria via a supposed new disease pandemic, this time from the bird flu. The more sane medical and scientific authorities I've seen are downplaying the significance of any threat posed by instances of avian flu being transmitted to humans. Nevertheless, the left's darlings, including California Governor Gavin Newsom, have been sounding the alarm, with Newsom even declaring a state of emergency in California. These events remind me of what was described as the doctrine of bio-Leninism by researcher and commentator Dr. Steve Turley on our last program. This is a policy of creating and instilling terror among the public by creating disasters and chaos in order to justify draconian government measures and usher in a communist totalitarian government. And this would appear to be exactly what the deep state wants. I recently saw an internet report that a CNN commentator had stated that Joe Biden was hoping for and expecting some type of crisis that would somehow prevent Donald Trump from taking office and somehow enable a cancellation of his presidency. This is why I remain worried about these last few days leading up to Trump's inauguration and the inauguration ceremony itself, still being planned as a gigantic open-air event with thousands in attendance. And once again, let me emphatically state that I am in no way calling for any kind of violence or illegality in response to these perceived threats. This would be just plain wrong, morally, besides being stupid. It's exactly what our political enemies want you to do so they can use this as propaganda against their opponents. That's us. Anyway, Alex Jones and other observers have additionally been predicting yet more attempts on Donald Trump's life. At this point, we can only hope and pray that public and private security for Trump will be sufficient. Even if the inauguration goes off as planned and Trump regains office, there remains the monumental task of taking on and dismantling the deep state of entrenched leftist bureaucrats and officials across the country who are opposed to Trump and his cabinet picks, who are, by and large, from outside the American governmental bureaucracy. These Trump nominees are sworn to reform the system. It remains to be seen how all this will play out. A big part of the problem, as I see it, is that the Communist Chinese Party, the CCP, and therefore the government of China, as part of its long-standing plot to take over the world, over the decades, has had its operatives deeply infiltrate almost every aspect of U.S. government and society, with much of the deep state seemingly aligned with the CCP and its goal of totalitarian world government domination. I believe it was Wang Bin, their foreign minister, recently said that the Chinese and American economies are closely intertwined. And that's just the first, that's just the part of it. That's what has a lot to do with people supporting the CCP, I'm sure. Well, this brings me to mind, with this in mind, let's get started with our video clips on today's program. The next three clips, which I'll play back to back, have to do with China's influence and threats to U.S. strategic and economic interests. First is a recent interview by Newsmax's Rob Schmidt with China Observer author Gordon Chang, related to China's growing influence over the Panama Canal and South America in general. The next clip is a Fox Business interview with U.S. businessman and Shark Tank program investor Kevin O'Leary on China at the Panama Canal, as well as its effect on the U.S. economy. And the third clip is commentary by Frank Gaffney, again, on the threat of the CCP on U.S. infrastructure and military assets via its possible involvement in recent drone swarms being sighted near sensitive military installations and land which has been purchased by Chinese nationals and companies.
Okay. So China already controls two of Panama's five main canal zone ports. Did you know that? And is planning on funding a new billion-dollar bridge over the Panama Canal. This is what China does. This is the Belt and Road strategy, which, by the way, was a part of the whole Hunter Biden thing. This is China trying to get its teeth into everything. They use money, and they have a lot of money, to buy influence over developing nations like Panama. They do a lot of this in Africa, too. The president of Panama saying, in regards to what Trump said, every square meter of the Panama Canal is Panama's and will continue to be. The sovereignty and independence of our country are not negotiable. But, I mean, Trump in the United States versus Panama and their president, I mean, give me a break. Trump firing back, we'll see about that. And then another post saying, welcome to the United States Canal. So Trump doing what he does. Gordon Chang is the author of Plan Red, China's Project to Destroy America. And we brought him in to talk more about all this. Gordon, good to see you. China buys up influence all over the world. Trump is seeing the CCP looking to commandeer this vital waterway between the East and our East Coast. He doesn't like it at all. Is he right?
Well, he's certainly right, because China's port facilities are at both ends of the canal. And when General Laura Richardson took a helicopter ride over the canal zone, this was the middle of 2022, she said she looked down and saw all of these dual-use facilities. Now, Evan Ellis, who could very well be America's number one Latin America expert, was a little bit less polite when he said the Chinese could shut down the canal if it wanted to. And by the way, if you build a bridge over the canal, you can take a bridge down over the canal, block the waterway. And that's what I think what the Chinese are up to with this new infrastructure project of theirs. Because at a time of war, they could make the canal totally useless.
Yeah, that I guess that's the first thing everybody thinks, right? If we get into some kind of contentious situation with China, which could be coming, a lot of people think it is coming at some point, in that moment, they could shut down. I mean, how vital is that artery, I guess, is my other question. Obviously, we've got access to the East and to Asia and everything over there from our West Coast, but if you can't get it to the East Coast, that becomes a problem.
Yeah, they say that we have a two-ocean navy. Well, we would have two separate navies. It would be very difficult to get ships from one from the Atlantic to the Pacific or vice versa. You'd have to go around Cape of Good Hope, the Straits of Magellan. And China is actually trying to build a naval base there. Now, fortunately, Javier Milei won the last presidential election, so the Chinese won't be able to do that. But the Chinese would like to close off South America in its entirety, from its north to its south.
There's so many games that China plays like this. You know, the people say that China's playing checkers, and we're all playing checkers. It's so interesting when Trump gets in, because he identifies things that nobody else in Washington sees or has a problem with. How in the hell have we just let China take over at least two ports in the Panama Canal? That just seems like a very obvious problem.
Yes, and we let China take over the Caribbean, some parts of Central America, and most of South America. So when you look at Latin America as a whole, if you take out Mexico, China is the largest trade partner of Latin America without Mexico. And that shows you how influential it is. And if you go from government to government in South America, especially, you find China being there and we are not. This was really highlighted to the American people when in Peru at the APEC meeting, you know, Xi Jinping got the red carpet and Joe Biden was really humiliated many times during that session. So it shows you how influential China is in what we call our own backyard.
Yeah, it's interesting. And most Americans haven't thought about the Panama Canal since probably the seventh grade. And we're all getting a big lesson. And it's important stuff. Gordon Chang, keeping an eye on China for us. Thank you, sir. We appreciate it. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Rob.
All right.
Chairman, Shark Tank investor Kevin O'Leary. Kevin, don't you love this? I mean, he does start with these totally wild ideas, although when you really think about them, I mean, the Panama Canal Treaty, I remember when it was debated, Ronald Reagan debated with Bill Buckley about it and so forth. It is a contract. And it is a contract that has been broken literally thousands of times by the government of Panama, and China wants to get its greedy hands on it. What do you think the possibility is of Donald Trump coming in and say, hey, look, you guys broke your contract. It's ours.
Well, I think we know it's 100% probability that's going to happen. But Trump is a transactional guy. He's a negotiator. I think everybody understands that now. There's no doubt. And he picks his fights one at a time. Last week it was Canada. Now it's Panama. And wow, we got Greenland on this list too. So, I mean, look, it's a very interesting way to start governing before you're actually the president. You do it by social media. You wake everybody up. They come flying to Mar-a-Lago. It makes sense to me. I don't see any reason why you can't do it. But the China thing in Panama is an issue, because it if sure that is. Was in any way affected and we didn't get access, that's a money saver for shipping in a very big way. So my guess is an envoy goes down there sometime in February and they start squeezing Panamanian heads to get a new deal.
By the way, your microphone is crackling a little. Just give it a little tug or something. Just on your microphone there. I think it's there.
Any better?
I think you got it. The difference between Canada and China is monumental. I mean, Trudeau came into the U.S., bowed at the feet of Donald Trump and folded like a cheap suit. I don't sense the same kind of reaction coming from Xi. What's going to happen with Xi? They're going to play hardball. It is going to be hardball between the two presidents. We know that Xi wants to become number one by knocking us down, whether it's legally through more trade or illegally through things like fentanyl and everything. He's been trying to do that for years. We know that's his MO. How do you think Trump is going to respond to that? I mean, I suspect it'll be like we saw in the first term, where he comes in strong with these new tariffs, don't you?
China's a different issue completely to Canada or any other country. The only way, you've got to remember, since 1999, since they came into the World Trade Organization, they have broken the rules with every country, including the U.S., every year. I'm an individual who does business there. My businesses have been absolutely screwed. I've said it countless times. They don't play by the rules. There's nothing reciprocal in our relations. The only way to make it work with the supreme leader, as I like to call him, is to inflict massive economic pain and risk on him by imposing tariffs on sectors where many Chinese people are employed. I have nothing against Chinese people. I have a lot against their government. And the only way to put him at risk is to say, look, if you want to mess with the largest economy you trade with, then we're going to force a lot of people that make yoga mats or electronics or whatever else it is to be unemployed in your cities. They'll be rioting in the streets, they won't have any bread, and you will be out of power. That is the only way it's going to work. So very selected, high impact weaponry, like tariffs, but you've got to be hardcore. He only understands the stick. That's all he understands. Any weakness at all, he plays off, and he has done so for years.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping this is the administration that fixes the problem. I have really been hurt by China, and there are millions of other businesses in America
Absolutely.
That are the same boat I'm in.
Absolutely. By the way, you mentioned the World Trade Organization. They still designate China as a developing nation. What that entitles China to are all these sweetheart loans that we partially pay for through the WTO, adding up to billions of extra dollars for the Chinese. Should Trump try to eliminate that designation of developing nation for China?
They're not a developing nation.
Exactly.
They're in an economic war with us and
exactly.
many European countries. That's got to get fixed. All that stuff has to get fixed. 40 years of getting screwed. That's what's happened.
And 40 years, by the way, of getting benefits that they don't deserve. And the euros have gone right in there. And when there's a Democrat in the White House, they go right along. But I think it's going to be different now. Very quickly, the SEC, as we were just talking about in a previous segment, is going to change dramatically under Donald Trump. Paul Atkins is a big free market guy, unlike his predecessor. So what are you expecting in terms of opportunities that we couldn't see in the United States because the SEC played such a tough cop role that we won't see during the Trump administration? What more opportunities will exist?
They'll exist because decisions will be made, particularly in the crypto and digital payment systems markets, where we should be leading worldwide and we're falling behind because we can't make up our minds. Listen, Gensler had a point of view that everybody understood. He just litigated his way into the courts on it. We need to get some decisions so that firms like mine can be compliant. We want to play by the rules as we do in every other market, the debt, the equity, the options market. Just tell us what the rules are.
Yeah.
That's all we need to know. And that once that's put in place, you will see an orderly transition into bringing crypto into the overall economic institutional infrastructure. That's what we want.
Good stuff. Kevin, thank you so much for being here. Have a wonderful new year. If I don't see you, appreciate you coming on.
On December 18th, the New York Post featured the following headline, quote, drones spotted near at least 17 military bases located next to Chinese-owned land in U.S., unquote. There's so much wrong with this picture that it's hard to know where to begin. The Biden administration has at best ignored the obvious threat posed by Chinese nationals buying up farmland and other real estate, even in proximity to sensitive national security sites. In some cases, they've actually subsidized the transactions. At least 17 of such sites have lately had unidentified drones flying over them, in at least one case requiring a cessation of military operations. While the reasonable conclusion is that the Chinese communists are spying on our secret stuff, the drone overflights could also be dress rehearsals for actual attacks. Incoming Trump border czar Tom Homan told Tucker Carlson recently that he thinks the Chinese, including 46,000 military-age males now here illegally, are, quote, trying to destroy this country, unquote. Now would be a good time to stop them from doing so. Those are my thoughts. You can find more of them at Frank Gaffney on X and our securingamerica.substack.com site. I encourage you to visit both.
Now let's look at two more video clips. These have to do with our seemingly leftist-dominated Central Intelligence Agency's alleged meddling in domestic U.S. affairs, which would be a violation of its governing documents and, I assume, U.S. law. The first clip is from an interview with Trump's FBI director nominee, Kash Patel, discussing whistleblowers alleging that former CIA director Gina Haspel authorized the paying off of numerous CIA analysts to change their assumption on the CIA's assessment, their assumptions on the CIA's assessment of the origins of the COVID-19 virus. The second clip is discussion of by Tom Fitton of JudicialWatch.org on evidence of wrongful CIA involvement in the federal government's response to the January 6, 2021 riot at the U.S. Capitol.
So I already told you what we did when we briefed Trump on the originations and what he did, based on the intel we had at the time. Then enter Fauci in the media. No, the Chinese would never do this. It's not about, no, it didn't come from them. Then the wet bat thing came out and some other goofy whatever.
Right.
Okay, what did we just learn 6 weeks ago? Gina Haspel, as director of the CIA, under Trump, authorized 6 case officers and intelligence analysts to be paid off so that they would change their assessment on COVID originations.
Correct.
That's not a Kash Patel thing.
That's CIA.
That's a CIA institutional decision to spend taxpayer dollars to lie to the world where COVID came from because it fit the narrative that Fauci and the media wanted out there, along with Gina Haspel, because she didn't want Donald Trump to get the credit for reading the intel right and making the hard right decision. But what happens is we're 2 years down the road from that, 3, and that story's been written. You know, that iron has been cast. So half the public is like, what are you guys talking about? That's a right-wing conspiracy. And this is why it's so important to keep drilling at that work, because many more of these instances of conduct will come to light if brave whistleblowers, congressional oversight.
And that's given me a lot of hope.
Now, I got a question for you.
What if I had told you 3 weeks ago, and I said, oh, I think the CIA was involved somehow on January 6th. Somehow they were involved somehow. I'd probably get thrown off the internet, right, for promoting a conspiracy theory. But we just uncovered documents that show the CIA had folks involved in the response to January 6th. And here's my video first highlighting it.
Hey, everyone. Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton here with some massive news. Judicial Watch just uncovered that the CIA was involved in the response to the January 6th disturbances on Capitol Hill. In fact, CIA bomb technicians were sent over to the RNC and DNC where those pipe bombs supposedly were found. On top of that, there were CIA dog teams on standby in response to January 6th. Now, there are a lot of questions that are raised by our disclosures. First of all, why did it take Judicial Watch heavy lifting in federal court to get access to these documents after all these years? Why didn't the Pelosi January 6th committee, even as corrupt as it was, not disclose the CIA involvement? What was the CIA involved for? Were they investigating foreign intelligence operations? Were they investigating American citizens? What else have they done related to January 6th? All these questions you can be sure your Judicial Watch will pursue in federal court if necessary.
That's a pretty good summary, huh? Isn't it incredible? So we had asked for records from the Department of Justice. What did we ask for? Last year. We asked for records and communications regarding shots being fired inside the U.S. Capitol, as well as requests for Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Explosive Special Response Team assistance on January 6th. So remember, they had these pipe bombs that were supposedly found at the RNC and DNC. And so we were interested in the responses there. So we got a bunch of text messages. Of course, they ignored our request, and we had to sue in federal court. Again, this is June of 2023. We filed the lawsuit. We probably had asked. Yeah, we asked in we filed the lawsuit in August. We asked for the records in June. So we've been waiting almost a year for these records. And it took a federal lawsuit to get them out to us. And so we got these ATF text messages that detail the CIA's involvement. And there are kind of two sets of text messages, and they're very interesting to read because they do talk about, as I say, we were asking about the reports of shots fired. The only shots were fired were the shots fired, at least in the Capitol, the shot fired at poor Ashley Babbitt by Lieutenant Michael Byrd, U.S. Capitol Police officer who, in our view, unlawfully shot her, illicitly shot her for no good reason, popped out, shot her. Dead. And we're representing her family in a wrongful death action right now, a federal lawsuit against the U.S. government for $30 million. So here you can see the ATF, you know, basically all these panicked text messages about the disturbance on January 6th. But what was most interesting in them to me was the involvement of the Secret Service. So here's the first text message detailing the involvement of the Central Intelligence Agency, not the Secret Service, the CIA. Several CIA dog teams on standby near the southwest area of the Capitol. What were they doing there? Why were they on standby? Were they called ahead of time? I don't know. First time we're hearing about it. And then there were technicians sent to where those pipe bombs were. CIA bomb techs. Why were they down there? You know, now typically the CIA is not supposed to be involved in domestic operations like that. So what was the purpose of their being involved? I mean, this is the D.C. area. We don't need extra folks like the CIA being involved here typically. Was there a foreign intelligence component that they were investigating? What else did they do? I don't know, but we're going to ask more questions and try to find out. But these are pretty extraordinary records, don't you agree? The CIA was involved in the response to January 6th. Were they called ahead of time and told to stand by? Who talked to them? Why were they put on standby? Or did they just show up in an emergency fashion on January 6th? I don't know. Why didn't Pelosi's rump January 6th committee disclose this? Where's the media been? Where have Republicans been? Do you think it's important that CIA resources were deployed in response to the January 6th? And I don't even know if it was in response. Maybe they were just waiting around because they knew something was going to happen. I had a good interview. We should link the interview below with Glenn Beck about this. But this is pretty shocking. CIA do anything else related to January 6th? Then we're going to ask the question other than Judicial Watch? I hope so.
Along with my concerns about the personal safety of Donald Trump are equally concerning worries about the safety of his cabinet choices, including FBI Director nominee Kash Patel, who you just saw talking about CIA whistleblowers reportedly exposing former CIA Gina Haspel's involvement in paying off CIA analysts to change their assumptions about the origins of the virus, that's the COVID-19 virus, to distract from focusing on China. Patel is a former federal prosecutor at the U.S. Department of Justice, former chief of staff to acting U.S. Secretary of Defense Christopher C. Miller, and former senior advisor to the acting director of national intelligence, Richard Grenell. Patel is eminently qualified to serve as FBI director, but the deep staters, I'm sure, must be trembling in their shoes at Patel's pending taking the helm at the FBI, given some of the things he's said about the FBI and the CIA and other things. So let's pray for the safety and safe transition of Trump and his cabinet choices into the seats of power in our entrenched governmental bureaucracy in the days ahead. Lastly today, here's a trailer for a new documentary video on the vicious, ruthless, and despicable deep state lawfare campaign against former Trump lawyer and constitutional scholar John Eastman, who has been disbarred in California as a result of his defense of Donald Trump and questioning of the validity of the 2020 election. If you've seen past editions of my show, you know that I agree with President Trump and millions of other Americans that the 2020 election was rigged and stolen, and that Joe Biden is the true illegitimate president. I cannot understand why John Eastman was so bitterly pursued and persecuted simply for standing by Trump and requesting that a real and serious investigation into the massive evidence of fraud in the 2020 election be conducted. The only thing I ever saw John Eastman do that was supposedly so awful, according to the idiots of the political left, was to stand by Trump and request that Congress's certification of Joe Biden be delayed until the mounting evidence of election fraud in 2020 could be properly investigated, as was also requested by several U.S. states. This was at the mass rally event in Washington, D.C. on January 6, 2021, before the, in my opinion, and that of many others, deep state engineered riot later at the Capitol, which Eastman and Trump had nothing to do with and did not encourage in any way. To me, the Eastman dilemma, as the documentary is titled, is a travesty of justice in America, which should be corrected and never allowed to happen again as we move to continue the salvation of our great republic.
I'm interested in Arizona to see how things
are tightening. If Joe Biden's at 253, if he holds on to Arizona and he gets Nevada, that's 270.
Joe Biden now needs in Pennsylvania, by 5,000,
the president is not going to be able to take over
by a very heavy margin.
The Fox News decision desk is calling Arizona for
Joe Biden.
We can now project the winner of the presidential race.
This is a fraud on the American public. This is an embarrassment to our country.
John Eastman who?
Why is anyone talking to John Eastman?
Attorney John Eastman. Video from Fox News shows FBI agents seizing his cell phone.
I'm very sympathetic to him legally. I don't know him personally, and politically we're on completely different sides.
I do think you should be disbarred if you've lied about something or you've represented something that you know is not true.
He asked me to help design a strategy. One could not have predicted that would subject me to years of lawfare, but I thought it was important to do to take on that representation.
Was it worth it?
Breaking news right now. Federal investigators obtained a warrant to search the phone of former lawyer for President Trump, John Eastman.
The very reason we have the Fourth Amendment is to prevent that kind of abuse. And yet that's what they're doing here.
Professor Eastman was targeted in ways the likes of which we've never seen before.
This is an example of lawfare, using the law against one's political enemies.
Distorting laws that have been on the books for a long time to find people we don't like because they're saying things that we don't like, and then to use those criminal laws to go after them. That's lawfare on steroids.
I'm just terrified. That's what the communist country do in China. Like China, they go after the lawyers.
Oh, he should be disbarred. If he advised Trump, he may need to go to jail.
I think John Eastman deserved to be disbarred.
That's just left-wing McCarthyism.
The head of CISA says at one point, this is the most secure election in our nation's history. And I can't believe he could say that with a straight face. It's laughably false.
Jim, you won't believe it. I just heard that a van dropped off boxes of ballots in the middle of the night.
Wisconsin was lost by 20,000 votes. Georgia was 10,000 votes. Those are very small numbers.
Do you still think the election was stolen?
Absolutely.
If we're going to function as a society that the founders bequeathed to us, I don't think we can function without freedom of speech. The ability to question the government when they go astray is critical to the notion that the government works for us rather than the other way around.
That's all for another show. As always, we hope you found today's content of interest and value. You can watch and or listen to a podcast of our show today when it's posted shortly here on the Jim Benson Show pages at bbsradio.com and elsewhere on the internet. Look for us again 2 weeks from today, one day before the fateful Trump presidential inauguration, in this same time slot here at the PBS Radio and Television Network. And have a great rest of your day and evening.